Red Blue Hoops is presented by German American Bank. From the banks of the Ohio River in Evansville, Indiana, this is Red Blue Hoops with fanatical red host Chad Payton and obsessive blue host Evan Beck.
Welcome, everyone, to the fifth season of the award-winning Red Blue Hoops show here on your WNIN 88.3 and live streaming on WNIN.org and Facebook Live, WNIN, and Periscope Live on WNIN Red Blue Hoops Twitter account. So that covers it all, I think. I am Evan Beck, your voice for the greatest basketball program in college basketball history, the Kentucky Wildcats, and joining me tonight as a special co-host is Zach Martin. Zach Martin, welcome to tonight's show.
Walker, Evan.
How you guys doing?
Glad to be here. Thank you, guys.
Yep. To our listeners out there, Zach had to be called in last minute due to an unfortunate family emergency to our normal Indiana co-host, Chad Payton. And all of our thoughts and prayers are with Chad and his family tonight. And it's days and moments like this when you realize that Indiana basketball and Kentucky basketball are nothing more than a source of entertainment. And there's a lot more things in life, a lot more important than basketball games. Isn't that right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Chad, shout out to you and your family tonight, buddy. Stay strong.
Thinking about you, bud.
Yep. So, since last week's show, obviously, unfortunately, Zach, our programs continue to go in opposite directions. It's been another really strong week for the Kentucky Wildcats. It's been another bumpy road for the Hoosiers. But before we get into our recent games, we want to let our listeners know that in our second segment tonight, we have a very special segment. We had Hall of Fame basketball writer Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News and also a studio analyst of the Big Ten Network. We pre-recorded a segment earlier this afternoon with Mike and talked a lot of things about basketball and his history in basketball journalism. And so again, for our listeners, tune in to the second segment to hear Mike DeCourcy. So, getting back to our performances from the past show, Kentucky hosted Kansas this past Saturday in Rupp Arena. And it was college game day. ESPN was in town.
Actually, pretty good crowd for that.
Yeah.
People were doubting the crowd. It's a good crowd.
Crowds have, even at Rupp Arena, but, you know, attendance across the board, across the nation, have been declining. But this particular game, we had 24,300 some odd people in there. And I can tell you, man, it was the buzz was there. You know, 3 hours before the game, you've been at the Hyatt Lobby Bar, connected to the Rupp Arena. It was packed shoulder to shoulder. Mm-hmm. And just real quick story, something I didn't anticipate, but Walker and I were up there for the game, and we ran into the family of Tyler Hero. Again, Tyler Hero, for some of our Indiana fans that don't know, he is a freshman guard from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And his father and mom and younger brother were there, and I walked over to introduce myself, and we ended up having a one-hour discussion, very comfortable, very open, and great family. The dad, Chris, is he's your prototype Milwaukee blue-collar dad, if you know what I mean. Talked a lot about Tyler's upbringing and talked about the recruiting process, because Tyler, if you remember, Zach, Tyler was committed to the Badgers.
Right. Which is a big transition.
Big deal. So all of a sudden, he reopened his recruitment. He flipped to Kentucky. So you can imagine what happened. The haters, man. Mm-hmm. The Badgers came out in force.
A lot of them.
Against the Hero family.
And that happened during his high school season
year. Yeah, so his whole high school senior year, when he was on the road, the mom said it was just awful. But I said, hey, it's obviously prepared him. He plays great on the road for Kentucky. So, again, a lot of cool stories. They talked very, very much in detail about the day Calipari and his staff came in for the in-home visit in our living room and how Calipari laid out the whole plan. They said, hey, Cal, the stories you hear about his recruiting pitch, there is no smoke being blown. There's no promises being made. You're going to come in here. You're going to work. No guaranteed minutes. No guaranteed shots. You're going to be part of a team, not an individual deal in Lexington, yada, yada, yada. So, but they spoke also about how, to this point, everything has exceeded their expectations in regard to the coaching staff, the administrative staff, the on-campus experience. But the one thing that really stuck out, Zach, And as you know, being a Kentucky fan, I get bashed by Hoosier fans a lot. And even your former, the general, Bob Knight, even spoke at a public event saying that, you know, Kentucky kids never go to class, mm-hmm. right? So, again, I don't know how this slipped through the cracks. I never heard about it before. But Cal Perry has a policy that if you as a player miss a class or a tutor session, your parents can't use tickets.
It's a great policy.
I mean, wow.
It's strong.
So Tyler's dad, again, he's rough. He's tough. He looked at me and goes, Evan, can you imagine Tyler having to call me and say, Dad, I missed a clash. I don't have any tickets for you.
Sorry, Pops.
He said, sorry. So that didn't happen. But anyway, Kentucky played well and ended up winning that game. Ironically, the first half, we were, what, Walker, 0 for 8?
0 for 8 in the first half from three-point
line. From three-point line.
Mm-hmm.
And 4 for 10 in the second half. Yep. Is that right? We had three players, double-doubles.
Yeah, Keldon, Reed, and PJ.
Yep. Ended up beating Kansas 71-63. We held Kansas to field goal percentage of 36.5. And we actually shot a season low 39% and still figured out a way to win that game. So
well fought. Well fought basketball game.
It was. I think you had a chance to watch that game, didn't you?
I did. Very entertaining.
I'll tell you again, the Kentucky effect is still alive. Kansas lost Monday night against Texas.
Yeah, I've been talking to Chad this season, Zach, about the team that plays Kentucky, bet against them the next game. They always lose after playing Kentucky. It's weird.
Yep. Let down game.
Mm-hmm. Like Auburn right now, they've lost three straight, except they won last night, but they lost three straight after Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. One cool thing.
It's better than seven straight.
That is a lot better.
That is better.
One thing that did happen, Zach, once a year, Dr. McCorver, he is the director of music for the University of Kentucky. He comes in there and starts the national anthem. He sings like the first, let's say, fourth of the song. And then he gets Rep Arena to sing, and everybody sings in unison. It's pretty cool experience. But phone lines, I'll tell you what, folks, give us a call tonight, 812-426-7400, or you can tweet us at Red Blue Hoops. We'll go to the phones right now. We have Coach from Murray. Welcome to Red Blue Hoops, Coach.
How you doing, Irv? You doing okay tonight?
Yes, sir. Trying to stay warm up here on the banks of the Ohio River. How you doing tonight, Coach?
Doing okay. It's the first time I've been able to call in this year with working the Murray State games. We're playing on Thursday night, so I'm never at home when you're all around. But
big game tonight.
When you're talking about game day at UK last Saturday, I think the first 5 minutes were all about a kid that plays at Murray State, a kid named John Moran, who was really something special. And they're playing down at Jacksonville, Alabama tonight. Right now we're tied for first place, but we'll see how we can do. But I watched Kentucky. I watched the Cats play Vanderbilt the other day, and they really, really looked well, looked good.
Well, Coach, back to John Morant for Murray State. He's getting a lot of national notoriety. I think he had an article in Sports Illustrated. I think USA Today had a spread on him. I think he's deserving of all that national media attention. I mean, his stats are phenomenal, but talk a little bit about his character off the court and what his reputation is like around Murray, Kentucky.
As far as I can tell, as far as I know, he's very, very good. I've heard nothing derogatory about any of the players that Coach Matt has brought in. Nothing bad at all.
Good.
That's fantastic. So, Coach, what has been your opinion? Have you been able to watch Kentucky games here lately?
I watched them against Vanderbilt. I recorded the Kansas game. I haven't watched all of it yet, but I think they're playing well. I like the hero kid.
Yes.
I like his ability to shoot threes, plus I like his ability to go to the rim.
Yeah, he's not just a shooter. There's no question. He's really improved his defense. What do you think about Kentucky's defense right now?
I think they're playing really, really well.
Fantastic.
I like Hagans. Hagans is just tremendous. The point guard and is a defensive point guard. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Really good.
In fact, you heard me mention earlier, we have Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News on in our second segment, pre-recorded earlier today. And DeCourcy has some very interesting comments that all of our Kentucky listeners and Indiana listeners should hear about Ashton Hagans as a defender.
Yeah, I think he's really, really good, and he runs the floor and controls the offense and does what a point guard's supposed to do.
Yes, sir. Coach, anything else for us tonight?
That's about it.
Okay, go Racers. Good luck tonight.
Good game tonight, yep.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks for the call. We'll go right back to the phone. Right back to the phone lines. We have Jonathan. Welcome to Red Blue Hoops. Go ahead. Uh-oh. A little feedback there.
I don't think he's on.
Jonathan? Nope. All right. We'll wait for Jonathan to call back at 812-426-7400 or tweet us at Red Blue Hoops. We had a lot of Twitter traffic before the show started.
Actually, I do have a
we have a question from Jonathan Grider in Russell Springs, Kentucky, my cousin and someone that you know well.
Mm-hmm, I do.
His question is, will Indiana win another game this season?
That is the same as Gossie says. Who will Indiana beat to stop the dumpster fire?
I think there's a chance next week that we could break the streak.
Against?
We've got Ohio State and Iowa.
Possible.
We've got, actually, next week we have Iowa, and then the next Sunday we have Ohio State. I think those are both winnable games at home.
Yeah.
At home.
Yeah, you guys have
both at home?
Yeah, yeah, they got a good home stand coming up here, right? Like 5-7 or so.
And we have Rutgers at home to end the season, too. So let's leave that little cherry there at the end of the season for us.
Well, don't allow a 22-0 scoring run again.
Are six of your last nine at home? Is that right?
It
might be five.
Hold on. I've got their schedule somewhere here handy. Hey, Maria, something sounds weird, by the way, but we'll keep on rolling. But something is really spazzing out tonight, but we're going to roll through it. Again, our phone lines are open, 812-426-7400. Or tweet us at Red Blue Hoops. We're going back to the phone lines. Jonathan, welcome to Red Blue Hoops. Go ahead.
Hey, man, y'all got my boy Zach on tonight. What's going on?
How you doing, Jonathan?
He's still throwing clubs up here.
Oh, boy.
That's a rough crew tonight.
It is a rough crew. Our main man, Chad Payton, had a family emergency, unfortunately. So Zach got the call around 4:45 to step in, and he drove downtown and did it. So we're appreciative of that.
I got my man Jordy here. We're cruising down the parkway, head to Waste Management.
Oh, really?
Whoa. Just checking in on you guys.
Phoenix. Whoa, time out. Phoenix. Where are you right now?
What's that?
Where are you right now? Like, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Glasgow, Kentucky, en route to Nashville. Hey. Catching a red eye to Phoenix.
Do you know who was born in Glasgow, Kentucky?
Who's that?
Me. How about that? So, Jonathan, what's your opinion of the Kentucky basketball team right now?
Swaggy Cal.
Swaggy Cal. Man, my 12-1 preseason pick for Kentucky win national championships in the Bahamas when I got engaged is looking better and better every day. Go Big Blue.
Boy, it is. That's exactly right. What do you think about our defense?
Defense reminds me of Chuck Hayes, Eric Daniels, Fitch, Hawkins. Man, those guys were good. This team reminds me of those guys a lot.
Well, Jonathan, I think I saw your buddy Jordy tweeting about our defense earlier this week, and this will be music to his ears, but I did some research, and our defensive numbers in our last eight games are approaching that of our 96 team, our 2012 team, and our 2015 team, two of which won national titles.
Hey, this is Jordy, Evan, and we'll see you in Minneapolis.
Oh, I love it, Jordy. That's awesome. Hey, have fun out there at the Waste Management Golf Tournament and make good decisions.
That's a great sporting event out there. You can't go wrong.
Anything else, fellas?
You guys have fun. We just want to call in and check in on you guys.
Thank you so much. All right. This is great. Last week we had zero Kentucky calls. Tonight we've had 2.5. I'm going to give that a 1.5 since two guys were on the phone. That's my cousin Jonathan Grider and his best friend Jordy Veach. Jordy Veach can play golf. He can run a golf tournament. But he's also really good at stringing the guitar and singing, isn't he, Zach?
It's fun to listen to, that's for sure.
Wow, that boy's got some talent. In fact, he got invited, I think, by Eddie Montgomery, right? Montgomery Gentry, Eddie Montgomery. I think they played in some event together somewhere that I remember. So if you guys ever have a chance to get down to Russell Springs, Kentucky, to play the Lakewood Country Club, it's a very special golf links, unique setup down there.
Has the
best two-man tournament I've ever played in. In about mid-July. Mm-hmm. And Zach, you went last year and had a good time, didn't you?
The best part about it is you just have to show up.
That's exactly right.
So what's your favorite hole there down at Lakewood?
Oh, my gosh.
There's several memorable holes, but the 4-iron or, you know, 5-iron off the tee to a 90-degree dogleg left with a wedge in your hand after that.
Oh, that's number
into
8.
A tunnel.
Yeah. Number 8.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, good old number 8.
Yellow 15,
oh, that's number
though.
7. Number 7, you hit 6-iron wedge.
Yeah.
You got like 15, though, downhill.
Again, folks, our phone lines are open, 812-426-7400. I am Evan Beck, your voice for the Kentucky Wildcats. Joining me tonight as a voice for the Indiana Hoosiers is Zach Martin. And Walker Beck's in here as intern again tonight.
Booyah.
And so, Zach, we talked about the Kansas game. And after the Kansas game, we hosted Vanderbilt. No, I'm sorry. We did not host Vanderbilt. We went to Vanderbilt on Tuesday night. And even though we were favored by 9.5, which I thought was a pretty large number by Vegas, I get nervous playing at Vanderbilt no matter what the record is. The week before, they actually beat Tennessee, and there was a crazy call that allowed Vanderbilt to lose that game in overtime. So, again, I was a little bit edgy.
They're always tough at home.
But,
Kentucky
rolled them. I mean, rolled them. Held them to 15 points in the first half. If you go back to the second half that Vanderbilt played in Rupp, we held them to 17. So that's a full game, 40 minutes of 32 points, which is crazy. Vanderbilt averages 75 points a game. Real quick, going back to the phone line, we have a regular caller with us again tonight. This is Alan from Birdseye. Alan, welcome to Red Blue Hoops.
Good evening, Evan. And Walker, sorry, I don't recall the
Zach.
Other guy's name.
Zach.
Zach.
Good evening.
Yeah. Yep. Yes. Sorry to hear what you guys were discussing in the very beginning for Chad.
Yes, sir.
Thoughts going out for him and the family. I know last night was a really bad night for me as an IU fan, but you know what, Evan, as much as that was bad, I'm still a Hoosier fan, and yes, I'm still going to call you.
That's awesome. That's what it's all about, you know?
That's right. You know, I'm seeing so much stuff on these different boards on Facebook and what have you that to me it's like expectations are great, but, you know, there's some real quality kids out there that are looking at IU that just might think, you know, passionate fans, that's good, and I like that, but these people are idiots, and I don't know that I like that. So some of those people, I hope they're listening, and maybe they back off a little bit.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Alan.
To move ahead, I'm going to say I did get a text last night, probably 7 minutes to go. Hey, things are looking up. I said, yeah. I said, but, you know, I think we've seen this the two previous games. Similarities, and then it all went down south.
Yeah.
So that turned out to be fruition again.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like I said, I am as diehard IU as what Evan is UK, and it doesn't matter. I'm still there. I still think that we're going to get there. I do think whatever this, and I've not read anything, so this is totally my opinion, but I do think whatever went on with Devontae Green has really been a bad bug going through the locker room. That's all I got to say on that part, but I really am starting to feel and see that.
Yeah, that could be a correlation there. And, Alan, I just tell a little side note. As we traverse back and forth to Lexington along I-64, we pass the sign that has Birdseye on it. Obviously, I think of you now.
Awesome.
Yes, sir. And maybe sometime stop by there and have an IPA with you.
What is that, exit 79, I think?
Ooh, I don't know the number, but I'll write it down next time. Zach, go ahead with Alan's comment.
How close are you to Possum Junction?
That is about maybe at very most 9 miles from my house.
Awesome.
Okay. Yeah, I grew up camping out there with my Uncle Steve. He had a place up there in Birdseye that was really nice, and we used to always go out to Possum Junction and get a little something to eat and drink or whatever it was that we could get, little snacks or something.
Exactly. Down to a little gas station slash general store.
It's a name you never forget when you're a kid, Possum Junction.
Exactly. Sure.
That's awesome. Hey. Alan, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate your support of Red Blue Hoops here on WNIN.
Not a problem. You guys have a good evening.
All right, thank you so much.
Thanks, man.
See ya.
All right, folks, that wraps up our first segment. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with more Red Blue Hoops. Our phone lines are open, 812-426-7400, or tweet us at Red Blue Hoops. Go Big Blue.
Red Blue Hoops is presented by German American Wealth Advisors. German American Wealth Advisors help accumulate and grow the wealth of individuals, families, and businesses with a mutual relationship based on trust and respect. Learn more at GermanAmerican.com.
right, folks, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops here on WNIN 88.3. We are live streaming on WNIN.org. We are live on Facebook Live, WNIN, and Periscoping on Twitter account, which is at Red Blue Hoops. I'm Evan Beck, your voice of the Kentucky Wildcats. Joining me tonight, filling in for Chad Payton, is Zach Martin, and Walker Beck is intern. As mentioned in our first segment, we are going to have a chance to listen to a very special guest. Earlier today, I was able to interview Hall of Fame basketball writer Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News, and he's also a studio analyst of the Big Ten Network. So, Maria, if you would, go ahead and key that up, and we'll sit back and listen, and then we'll come back after that segment. Red Blue Hoops fans, we are now joined by our special guest and Hall of Famer Mike DeCourcy. Mike is a college basketball columnist at the Sporting News, a position he has held for over 20 years. He is a member of the U.S. Basketball Writers Hall of Fame and also frequently writes about soccer. Mike is a regular contributor on the Big Ten Network as a studio analyst and been doing that since around January 2010. Currently lives in Indianapolis, Indiana, and previously was with the Cincinnati Inquirer, the Commercial Appeal, and the Pittsburgh Press. And something that Mike and I have in common is that we're both big Steelers fans. Welcome to Red Blue Hoops, Mike.
Well, I'm glad to join you. I'm sorry to hear about your co-host circumstance, but I hope I wish the best for his dad. I hope everything goes well.
Thank you so much. Yeah, Chad is going to hopefully join us on the live show later tonight. So let's just jump right into it. Since the basketball season is well into conference play, Mike, give us a little bit of a background on, just real quick, so our listeners know more about you, how you've gotten to this point in your career and kind of your history with college basketball.
Well, it goes back. I mean, I grew up in the 70s, and I grew up knowing, unlike a lot of kids who harbor dreams of being professional athletes, I was an overweight kid at the time and not a particularly, you know, I wasn't a bad athlete for an overweight kid, but I was small and that was, you know, and the not being in shape thing sort of made me realize that I was never going to be a professional. So I really loved sports, and so I tried to find a way into it as a profession, and I decided early on that I would become a sports journalist. And I didn't know at the time whether that'd be writing or TV or radio or what. And so I trained myself and sought training at a school called Point Park University in Pittsburgh that happened to sort of stress all those areas. They wanted the people who came out of there to be well-rounded and not just, you know, really directed in one area. So I was ready to take whatever job I could get, and it turned out that it was in print in the newspaper business, and that's what I did for 20 years until I got a chance to move to Sporting News. And as it's turned out, I've also gotten a chance to use all that broadcast training in doing radio interviews, for one, and then, yes, of course, the wonderful opportunity I've gotten at Big Ten Network, which has been a phenomenal experience for me.
Is that what got you to Indianapolis, was the Big Ten Network?
No, actually, I at the time I left the Cincinnati Inquirer to go to work for Sporting News, at that point I was kind of a geographic free agent. But my wife had a job, a very good job there, and so we were there for 14 years after I left the Inquirer.
Okay.
And then she got a job over here in Indy. And it's funny because when she got recruited, it was they try to be real suspicious, like, or circumspect about it. Like, well, it's a job in the Midwest, and I'm like, you know, I'm like, yeah, let's be honest here. I mean, like, North Dakota's kind of Midwest.
That's right.
So not, you know,
Southeast Iowa is the Midwest. Specific. Yeah.
So I'm not going to say anything bad about Iowa. They're in the Big Ten.
That's right.
So I said, can't you just, like, get them to pin down the city? And it turned out to be Indy. And it's like, there's like 700 companies here. Like, they really had to be that, you know.
That's funny.
So anyway, when they said Indy, I mean, I have probably at that point in my life spent more time in Indy than any place that I never lived, because Final Fours and Big Ten tournaments and,
sure,
and regionals and all the rest. And so I've been here so much, and I love the place. And actually, really, I'm very happy here.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're fortunate, my family, we get to travel to a lot of Final Fours when Kentucky's able to make it that far. And I will say that Indianapolis is, in my opinion, one of the top two or three host cities of the Final Four.
Well, long before I became a resident, and therefore, I guess, biased, mm-hmm. one might say, I had been writing that they should just put it here and leave it here and yep. never move it.
Yep.
Because for me, it's the best place to have a Final Four. Everything is right there. You don't have to, you don't have to have a car. You can walk everywhere. The facilities are fantastic. You know, there's all these good restaurants and bars and all that stuff. And it's really a wonderful downtown. And obviously, I appreciate it better. I know the downtown better than I did when I was a visitor. Mm-hmm. And honestly, to be 100% truthful, when it was here in 2015, that was my first full year living here. And it's actually less fun for me when it's here. I get a chance to see my wife every day, which is nice.
Yes.
But it's less fun when you're staying in your own bedroom than it is when you're in a hotel and stuff. So
that's true.
So when I say that, it's no longer about self-interest.
No.
It's still the place they should have it every year, even though it would be less fun for me if that were the case.
Well, I can tell you, in my opinion, where they should not have it ever again, that's Dallas or Houston.
Yeah, you know, Houston was the first time we were there in 2011 was the worst Final Four.
Yes, and, absolutely.
And it wasn't even close. It was right. A disaster. And I'm not even talking about the basketball, which was pretty bad.
Awful shooting.
But the location was a disaster. When we went back in 2016, I think it wasn't as bad. They fixed some of the things that they learned from the first time, mm-hmm. but it still isn't ideal. Dallas was really a disappointment because it was so spread out. You might as well have had, you know, one team in Kansas City and the other team in Charlotte. I mean, it just... Yeah. And the media in New Orleans. I mean, it was not the same place, so it didn't work at all. And you know, it was somewhat the same in Arizona. We were all too far away from each other. That's why you know they're trying to take care of these people, so to speak, that go to all the trouble to build these places. But if they're not ideal for the sport, and I will say this, the Arizona one, and I don't think Kentucky was in that one, but. It may be a good stadium for football, but it's a terrible stadium for basketball. Whereas, like in Detroit, the Final Four there, I mean, from a sightline perspective and your ability to see the floor if you were in the stands, it was 100% better than a lot of these places.
I agree 100% with that. Again, folks, we're joined by Hall of Fame sports writer Mike DeCourcy of Sporting News. Mike, this all came together for getting you on Red Blue Hoops last Friday night after Indiana had suffered another loss. And I saw my co-host, Chad Payton, and you were tweeting back and forth, and it dawned on me that I've been meaning to reach out to you about getting on our show. And let's talk about Indiana real quick. Obviously, their season started out fairly strong with a 12-2 record, and now they've lost
seven
in a row. So, kind of give us your thoughts on Indiana basketball right now, Mike.
Well, I think it starts with the fact that they went into the start of the regular season with less than they had imagined. Race Thompson, one player that they expected to be in rotation, they had several more that were injured in the preseason and unavailable for them. So their rotation was already shortened and. Not just shortened in terms of numbers, but shortened in terms of height from what they'd hoped and expected. And then they got into the season, and they did okay, and they did really nicely at the start. And they never quite really hit, other than the Marquette game, they never really totally fired. I mean, the Northwestern game was a labor, but they won. And,
sure.
And the Louisville game was a labor, but they won. And there was a lot of that. And you could see that there were problems. But what happened when Deron Davis got hurt is they went from being undersized to being small. And small is killing them right now. When they went to Rutgers last night, I read a bunch of stuff about how this was rock bottom because they lost to Rutgers. I'm like, I could have told you they were going to lose to Rutgers. Rutgers is enormous.
Yeah, they are.
They've got so many big bodies, and they've become really good. Steve Peichel's a wonderful coach. They become really good at when they get a team in front of them that is either undersized or small, they're going to make the fact that they're huge matter. They're good at emphasizing that strength. Now, if they play an elite talent team or one that's, that can look them in the eye like Michigan State, they're not as good yet, and they can't combat that. But they are competing now. They are much more skilled in the backcourt, and they are huge. And last night, I think the final rebounding total was something like 43 to 29.
Wow.
They did the same thing to Ohio State when they played, because Ohio State, although they have Caleb Wesson, they don't have any, you know, they don't have as much physical power to go with them. And they've become really good at that. And so you've got a team right now in Indiana that is too small and that can't shoot its way out of that.
Yeah.
You know, people have been telling me, oh, gosh, you know, they're going to get through this year, and they're going to say, hey, they had Romeo Langford for a year, and they didn't make the tournament. And my response to that is, you know, Romeo could have something to say about that if he'd make a jump shot.
Sure.
He's a wonderful talent and a really good young man. But the fact that he is as limited as a shooter as the other players that are playing in those positions, Zach McRoberts, Justin Smith, those guys, they're not making any shots. So there's no way to score if your wing players are not able to make shots. The opposing defense just stacks the lane, keeps you out of there. Romeo, who is the best finisher in college basketball this season.
That's correct.
One of the two best drivers and the absolute best finisher. But if you can't get in there,
yeah,
there's nothing to finish.
That's exactly right. The Big Ten, you know, what I call conference plays, the ultimate asset test, scouting reports are tighter, and they're compressing those driving lanes on Romeo right now.
And you know, if he were making shots, he would have more options for himself. If the on the other side they had a wing who was consistently making shots, then maybe that might draw some defense away. But they don't. I mean, they started out Durham the other night. He's a small guard, so that gave him some more offensive potency, because Al had been coming off the bench. Zach McRoberts has been bothered all year by a back injury and some foot problems, and so he's never been a great offensive player, but he's even less of one now, and he's also struggling on defense. But then, okay, so who do you put in for them? Well, they don't have anybody because everybody else is hurt or young. So it's become a collection of problems that has built on them, and now what's happened is they've lost their confidence. Whatever confidence they had, it's shot. And the hardest thing to do when you've lost your confidence in college basketball is get it back, because you can't get your confidence back if you're not winning, and you can't win if you don't have your confidence.
Absolutely.
So they're in a vicious cycle. And Michigan State's not going to make it any less vicious. It's really difficult to find a place where you have an opportunity to land and say, okay, just give us a B plus effort, and we're going to win this no matter what. The other part of this component that I didn't mention is that I've said this a few times. If you took this team and you put them like in a time machine, H.G. Wells' time machine, and sent them back a year to play in last year's Big Ten, they'd find all kinds of places to get a win. I mean, it was not a good league last year.
Interesting.
There were great
teams,
Michigan, Michigan State, et cetera, but it wasn't a good league. You know, Penn State finished 9-9, I think. That was fifth place, sixth place, something like that, didn't make the show. There would have been lots of people that they could have beaten with a B-minus effort. And so they would have gotten their confidence, and then you could have built towards starting to get really good efforts out. But they don't have that now. This league is as deep as it has. I've been doing Big Ten Network now for 10 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And it's possible that we've had strength go deeper into the league, like five or six really good teams. We don't have five or six really, really good teams. We have two great teams and one or two that are really good and dangerous behind them. But we've never had in the Big Ten teams all the way down to nearly the very bottom that are really potent and really dangerous. Illinois showed that with whipping Minnesota a couple weeks ago on their home floor, and then going to the Garden over the weekend, this past weekend, and beating Maryland. That's one surefire NCAA tournament team and one potential. And they beat them both. Rutgers now up to 4 wins in the league. Can't count on that. Northwestern is not, you know, not a great team, but not backing down. Indiana learned that on the road. So it's just really hard to find a place for them to get a win and get some confidence back.
This is Red Blue Hoops, and we're joined by a special guest, Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News. Mike, any chance or any knowledge about Kentucky and Indiana renewing one of the best basketball rivalries on a regular season basis?
You know, they've been going back and forth on that for a long time, and the problem is that Kentucky doesn't want to go back to Assembly Hall, and Indiana already has neutral court games that they're committed to in the Crossroads Classic, and maybe not so much interest in doing another. And I don't blame Indiana for that. I don't blame Kentucky. You play who you want to play. I happen to think that John builds his team however he wants, and he's fabulous at it. But, you know, I think for the sake of the Rupp Arena crowd and all the investments they put into that place and I believe are continuing to put into it over the next couple of years.
Yes.
I think that they ought to do more home games. You know, I this CBS Sports Classic thing, I just don't care for it.
Right.
I dig the Champions Classic. It's a season opener. It's a really cool event. But the CBS Sports Classic went to New Orleans last week, and there were like enough people that, like, you know, to fill a shoebox.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not good for the game. We have too many of these.
I can tell you,
too many such games.
As a season ticket holder, we all are hoping for better, you know, home games. You know, we need about one or two more per season, and I would love to have Indiana get back on the schedule for sure.
Yeah, that would be great. I mean, I would love to see them go back to playing and play home and home and all that. But even if it wasn't Indiana and it was, I don't know, let's say Arizona or Iowa State or somebody. I mean, I understand that doing that means, oh, yeah, you got to go on the road. But you're only talking about 1-2 road games a year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's going to affect you know, and if he wants to schedule that game for after Christmas or whatever, and my other idea is this. If you want to play the CBS Sports Classic, here's how you do it. Okay, you have 4 teams, play 1 year at Ohio State, play 1 year at Kentucky, play 1 year at Carolina, play 1 year at UCLA.
That'd be awesome.
Do it that way.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun.
Because then you get, and I understand the first game's always going to have, whoever it is always going to have like that, you know, filtering into the
sure.
into the arena kind of thing. Well, we had the Champions Classic this year with Kentucky.
Because
Kentucky had, what, 2/3 of the house maybe,
yes.
something like that, 60%.
Yep.
So, they didn't show up till the second half of Michigan State, Kansas anyway, so it's the same thing.
You're right. So speaking of Kentucky, it's been an interesting year for Kentucky, and I have trained myself, Mike, to not really assess a Calipari team until around January 15th each year. So what are your thoughts right now with the Kentucky Wildcats going forward?
Well, that puts you way ahead of most Kentucky fans.
Oh, I know. We're in the same group.
Does it not? You have to be patient with them to figure out where they're going. Now, look, if they bring in an Anthony Davis and all that,
right.
Then they're going to be special. But this group, they have some really, really good young players. You know, Tyler Hero and Keldon Johnson, and obviously Ashton Hagans. Those guys are really, really good. But there's nobody that just walks in the gym like a Zion does, and you just look at his talent and you go, "Holy cow! We're going to be great." But they have built themselves into a very effective team. They have become a very effective defensive team that continues to grow all the time. It starts with having as good a young point guard defender, on ball defender, whatever you want to call him. In Ashton Hagans, as I have seen, and the best, I've said this before too, the best that I have seen in 35 years of covering college basketball at reading the ball, whether it's in your hands or in flight, the best I've ever seen.
Wow.
And that covers, like I said, 3 decades. His defensive ball skills, I don't know that there's a term for it.
Right.
It's the best. He's astonishing. He reads the pass. and gets into it. After one play he made against Louisville, where he literally just jumped straight in the air and picked off a pass that was supposed to be a long lob over his head.
Yes.
I said, could he please just sign up right now can we sign him up to play for the Steelers at cornerback?
I think he tweeted that, and I agreed with it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
He's special kid.
He is. And he's becoming a really good offensive player. I think he has early on in his evolution as a point guard, I started to say or tweet that he needs to take shots that come back to him. Like if they run the offense and the ball rotates back to him and teams are leaving him alone, he has to shoot the shot. Because if he doesn't shoot it, they're just going to keep doing it, and that gums up the any chance to have a restart.
Yeah, he hit two outside jumpers against Vanderbilt the other night, and that's not an easy gym to shoot in as a visiting team. So
he started that about a month ago, maybe three weeks ago, and again, he's not a great shooter, but he's becoming a confident shooter, and I think he really understands the value of taking that shot. I'm sure that he was told about it. You can't pass that shot up if they're going to leave it for you. Kentucky is a great offensive rebounding team.
Yes.
It's a great rebounding team. So if he misses that shot, there's a good chance they might get it back. So
that's right.
They were really smart to tell him that, and he's a wonderful student of the game. I love what I see from him. So they're becoming a really effective team. The next step to being excellent is the continued contribution of Nick Richards. We saw in the Kansas game, five blocks. We saw him score 10 the other night at Vandy. Still struggling to rebound the basketball, though. And I know that being a center, people sometimes forget, it's harder to rebound from the center spot than it is from the forward spot, because you're often defending against the post, and the rebound often bounces away from you if you're behind the guy shooting the basketball. But you still ought to be able to get more than one. And so that's something. And honestly, Cal's not going to let him off the hook until he starts giving the ball back to him four or five times a game. So he's got to do better there. But when he becomes a real factor, then they add a size element that makes them really hard to cope with.
There's no question. I mean, Nick Richards and also E.J. Montgomery is playing more meaningful minutes now. So.
Yeah, I mean, EJ, his contributions would be important because he would add an offensive element to their front court.
That's right.
The perimeter shooting ability, plus the size, plus he can rebound. If he could get to that, then it's one more component. But the Richards one is less far away, because EJ not only has to get defense right down, he also has to make shots in order to stay out there. So there's more components at work there, but I think Nick's is not that far away. We've seen real progress with him in the last few games. And like I said, because he's 7 feet or almost 7 feet, he just gives you something that very few teams have.
Well, Mike, we have really appreciated you coming on Red Blue Hoops tonight, and hopefully you can rejoin us again in the future. Again, this has been Mike DeCourcy with the Sporting News. Mike, have a great night.
You too. I enjoyed it very much. And again, my best to your partner, and I'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you, Mike.
Red Blue Hoops is presented by German American Bank. German American Bank offers checking accounts to help manage everyday life with mobile banking, mobile bill pay, mobile check deposit, and mobile pay people. Learn more at germanamerican.com. Support for Red Blue Hoops also comes from Evansville Teachers Federal Credit Union, offering vertical checking plus ATM reimbursement. Evansville Teachers Federal Credit Union, everything we do for you.
All right, basketball fans, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops here on WNIN 88.3. That was Mike DeCourcy, our special guest from the Sporting News. Zach, what do you think about that little segment?
He's very thorough.
He is very thorough, but
he's got it together, that's for sure.
It was an honor for us here at Red Blue Hoops in our fifth season to have a legend like DeCourcy on, and wow, hopefully he'll be on in the future. And his wealth of knowledge in college basketball runs very deep. While we were listening to DeCourcy, we had a Facebook quote question from Alan Hughes. He wanted me to talk about during Kentucky's recent winning streak, we are holding our opponents to 60 points per game, which is fantastic. I think our scoring margin for the entire year is now up to 13 point some odd points per game. Anything over 11 is really good. And then also we had a Twitter question sent in by a text from Chris Rhodes in Owensboro. He says, what do you think about Coach Cal's development of his point guards and how Ashton Hagans has developed this year? Well, we touched on this a little bit earlier in the show. I learned my lesson back in 2009 when Tyreke Evans was playing for Cal Perry at Memphis. And I was sitting in the duck blind on Martin Luther King Day, Zach, and I was talking about how Tyreke had been a bust that year. Well, boy, did I eat crow, because shortly thereafter, Tyreke blew up and became the dominant point guard in college basketball, and I think he got drafted somewhere fourth, fifth, or sixth in the draft. So I reflected back on that lesson, and I have trained myself to let these guards grow up. You know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, around this time last year, grew into a fantastic player, became a lottery pick. De'Aaron Fox, my good friend Wade Jenkins in Owensboro, he admitted the other day that he thought Fox was a bust at Kentucky, and you saw what Fox ended up doing late in that season. So Ashton Hagans, I haven't figured out yet, Zach, but one of my friends said he was a bust this year, and I can't get that person to admit who they were, but obviously he's not. I mean, you've seen Ashton Hagans play. Solid. What are your thoughts on him?
He just has a high basketball IQ. I think he plays hard defense. He knows how to get to the rim a little bit, and he's just a fun player to watch. He's got a lot of upside.
And he was a reclass kid. He should be a senior in high school right now. So his ceiling is very high. I think we're going back to the phone lines. Understand, we have someone that's been holding now for 17-plus minutes. Tax Guy, welcome to Rebel Hoops. Go ahead.
How's it going, guys?
It's going great. Is this Steve Foltz?
It is.
Oh, my gosh. You're off. Dude, I was telling your nephew today at work that I was getting concerned because the deal was, Zach, if Steve Foltz didn't call in the show this season, he was going to lose all of our business this year to a competitor in Indianapolis.
So I didn't know what I should do, Tax Guy or Little Archie. I didn't know which one to do.
See, I call him Little Archie when he calls me on the phone, Zach. So what do you have for us tonight, Tax Guy?
Hey, just, you know, congratulations on Zion Williams. That's great. You guys are just amazing. Chad?
Who? What?
Hold on.
What'd you say?
You're a Zion guy. He was a Kentucky guy. Zion, the big guy that's real good. What's his name?
He plays for Duke. He beat you guys earlier this year in Duke. Remember
him?
Oh,
I don't think as much as a margin as he beat you guys, but that's okay.
No, that's true. They beat us by 34.
but that's okay. That's cute.
Okay, tell you what, Mr. Cute Tax Guy. Do you want to trade IU season for Kentucky's right now?
Oh, no, and I appreciate that no emails and no text about it, but – And are you guys giving away, what is it, for the best call-in for, what is it, a trout dinner?
Yeah.
Is it a lunch?
The bet is if Kentucky,
tell us the bet is.
If Kentucky loses six or more games during the regular season, I am taking Chad to lunch and our best caller for the entire season of Red Blue Hoops this year.
Okay.
And you're not on that list at this point.
And that's not going to be me, because like the last two times IU beat Kentucky, I got paid by Evan with my trout dinner at, I guess I can't mention the, straight up, by the way, no points.
That's right.
Because Evan doesn't believe in points.
Nope.
Just straight up, I got my free trout dinner, just so you know. But then we don't play anymore, but that's okay. Chad, just so you know, I appreciate you doing what you do, staying that for Hoosier Nation. I graduated from there. I have a son that goes there now. And if you were Archie, okay,
boy,
what would you do?
And by the way, this is Zach Martin filling in for Chad. Chad's dealing with a family emergency tonight, but go ahead, Zach.
That's even better. Yes, sir.
That's even better. What would you do, Zach?
Yeah, Zach.
Well, obviously, he's starting to feel a little bit of heat up there. There's a lot of things going on around the program that he's just now experiencing for the first time. He's got to get his feet on solid ground, just where he stands, you know, as far as coaching in the Big Ten. And this is his, you know, only his second year.
He's right. Got to stick to what he knows he's done and been successful with in the past, like what he did at Dayton, and he's got to let his his culture take form there to see what he's really all about. He's getting different kind of athletes than what he's used to. He's been decimated, obviously, with injuries. We don't have a lot of scoring depth, so I think he just needs to stick to his game plan. And I think if Hoosier Nation can stick in for another year or two with him, I think there's a really high upside with Archie. And I think he's doing a great job of handling the media, because you can tell how frustrated he is with both his players and just everything he's battled through over the last year. It's just been really tough for him, for a guy in a second year with a place like IU where there's high expectations. So let's let him have his time, and I think in due time, which hopefully won't be too long, we'll be playing solid basketball again.
Well, and I agree with you. It's always give him more time, and you know they're always trying to hang Fred Glass and you know all those things. I guess watch it, and I'm on that bad bandwagon as well. The one thing I guess I was really disappointed in is watching the Nebraska game. Mm-hmm. We now Rutgers mm-hmm. last night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were up by 10, and then all of a sudden, like someone turned off the lights on us.
And do you know what that switch was? Three fouls on Juwan Morgan, three fouls on Romeo Langford. They both went out of the game. It might have been two fouls and three fouls, but
I think it was two. I think it was 2 fouls and 3 fouls.
Yeah,
but
I think you're right.
In the Nebraska game, watching it, it was embarrassing, and I hate to say it, it was embarrassing watching that game, because it looked like no one cared. And to me, if you're not producing and you don't want to be on the court, you know, there's five other players that are sitting on that bench, more any of them that want to be on that court. Right, I mean, you don't go to IU because you don't want to sit on the bench. You want to be on the court, and I was just curious on, you know, just the take of what do we need to do to kick these guys in the pants a little bit and go, if you guys don't want to give the effort,
yeah,
you know, there's five other guys, and Evan, I think, you know, even Cheetah Parry, you know, he had at one point
that
you could. He could take five guys out and put five guys in, and they were just as good.
Right, that's
because
right.
Because all 10 players wanted to wear the blue and white. They wanted to represent their school.
Hey,
and I admired that. I admired that. You know, you could take all five players out and put five players in, and they all stepped up and performed.
Steve, got to go. We got 10 seconds. Thanks for the call. We'll be back next week with more Red Blue Hoops here on WNIN. 88.3, go Big Blue.
Adios. Go Hoosiers.
Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from Evansville Teachers Federal Credit Union, offering vertical checking plus ATM reimbursement. Evansville Teachers Federal Credit Union, everything we do for you. Red Blue Hoops is a production of WNIN Tri-State Public Media. The executive producer is Brad Kimmel. Steve Berger is the producer. Maria Thomas is the technical director. The opinions in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of the WNIN staff or board of directors, or for that matter, Purdue fans, Evansville fans, USI fans, Louisville fans, and certainly not Duke fans.